All right, this is wild. That was a great speech by President Bush. Not everybody could take it as such, though. I'll get back to your calls in a moment. If you're on hold, stay there. This is why our country's so crazy. It's just this perfect microcosm. There's a lady who has sent me a message exactly three times on Facebook Messenger. All three she has complained. Okay? She sent two prior. Her name's Susan Hornack. Okay? So Susan complained in the past that I played the speech that Pete Hegseth gave to the Naval Academy football team after they beat Army. And so immediately after, and again, this is a microcosm of why our country is where it is. The need to pick a side and play on one team and hate the other. As that speech was playing, she sent me this. It's sad you need to put President Bush's speech on Veterans Day. It's very powerful. Our current president doesn't have this feeling in his heart. Listen here, lady. That President Bush speech has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on right now. It was from 2006. I'm playing a bunch of different audio today from the past. Why can't you just celebrate President's Day, or excuse me, Veterans Day, without feeling the need to wake up and hate Donald Trump? And I say that for the other side, too. Why, if I would play somebody else, would you send me a message and say, what about Donald Trump? Like, can we leave the partisan politics aside? And I am going to get to that at 5 o'clock. Can we leave the partisan politics aside for one day? For one day. On Veterans Day? And maybe not make it about... Because that's making it about you. It just is. It's insane people like Susan wake up every day and want to be so mad at the world that they can't take independently a very great speech from President George W. Bush and say, wow, that was a nice moment in our history, without infusing the current president. That's the problem. Our inability to get off of one or two teams and our ability to infuse all of our thoughts and feelings into one of those two teams, seemingly with every single thing we do. Haven't heard from this guy in a while. Joe in Churchill. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing, Dylan?
I'm good. How's everything?
Well, I'm the fellow you talked to back in the summertime about coming playing you a song on the guitar and that stuff.
I know.
Okay. Let me tell you, I could be on your show for at least an hour. I know I can't have that, but let me tell you, what a coincidence you had President Bush on there. Let me tell you, I served 21 years in the Air Force. Combat outfit in the Air Force, security police, served in Vietnam time and Desert Storm.
Wow.
And what a coincidence. I'm no big war hero, but I'm sitting behind my retirement wall, and I'm very proud of the time that I was in the service with the people that I served with. Not really this country, what they got me into, but with the people that the men and women I served with across this country from Washington to Maine. So let me tell you, what a coincidence you had Bush on.
Why is that?
I'm going to tell you. I remember when I served in Desert Storm, when his dad was president, there was a saying when I was over there in Egypt and that in Saudi Arabia, there was a rumor going around that either Kuwait or Saudi Arabia wanted to pay every GI over there at least $10,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
An old man Bush, who was a World War II combat veteran, instead of him keeping his mouth shut and say, here's the 400,000 names, you want to give them $10,000 for coming over here and saving your country of Kuwait, which in my opinion, we had no business being over there. That's my opinion. Now, I can give my opinion because I got stuck in that thing. And not only that, I was in the Pennsylvania Air National Guard. The Guard is the last thing to get activated. So the whole thing is he said, the rumor was, that everybody was going to get at least $10,000. Well, what did old President Bush, the first Bush, do? He said, well, the rumor was that we're not hired mercenary. Well, the whole thing is I'm not a crusader either to go over there, which I was in a guard at the time, which is supposed to be your commander in chief is the governor. So that's one thing.
All right, so what else we got? I don't want to make this a mini-series. I appreciate your service. I truly do, particularly on Veterans Day.
Well, the other thing is about DeLuzio. He talked about all these veterans that are commit suicide.
I heard that today.
Well,
yes, it's very tragic.
All right, well, I have another name for him. But the whole thing is whenever you try to call him up, he doesn't call you. You talk to one of your aides, nobody answers you. So the whole thing is if you have an issue with him or a military about the disability, I'm service connected, 10% that gets stolen out of my military retirement check a month and that. So the whole thing is if you have an issue, he doesn't call you, but people like you and Marty Griffin, you call up because you have a voice. They return your call. But as you being a veteran, a service-connected service veteran, these politicians don't have time to call you up.
All right, Joe, I'm going to stop you there for a moment and separate a couple things. Okay?
Go ahead.
If you have a problem with Chris DeLuzio, your problem isn't with me. Okay? We're gonna square that away. As kindly as can be. Second of all, press person and he comes on my show, that doesn't connect to you whatsoever, and I'm not going to apologize to you or anyone else that someone comes on my show.
That. I understand that. The reason why he comes on your show and McCormick comes on Marty's show is because you people have a voice. And they respond to you, but a veteran like me that was served during two conflicts, they don't have no time to call you.
I'm
going to
do this. I'm going to help you out. Wait a minute. I'm going to help you out. Because
right,
what I do is I run a show differently than other people. I don't tell people all I do normally, okay? Like, I would rather you have emailed me privately and I could help you out, but now you're forcing my hand to do this publicly, and I don't go around and say and tell everybody how many people I helped or this or that. If ever in the future you need help, you can email me privately, and I like to take care of things like that, but I'll help you publicly, okay? I'm going to put you on hold, and I'd like you to give Margo your phone number. And what I'm going to do...
Okay, that's fine.
Wait, listen. And your name, okay, Joe? And in the next break, I am going to text Chris DeLuzio personally, not his office, personally, and ask him to get in touch with you. Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah. I want to talk to him personally.
Okay, okay.
That's what I want,
but in the future,
call.
See, I'm not somebody who's boastful and says, I did this, did that, helped X amount of people. I just like to do it quietly. But because of this... You know, you could have reached out. My email's out there. You could talk to Margo, whatever. But certainly, and don't think I don't do things for people because I don't come on the air and yell about how much I do for people. I do a lot, but I just don't feel the need to regurgitate it every day. But I'm going to put you on hold. Okay. I'd like you to give Margo your name and your phone number, and I'm going to pass it along to Congressman DeLuzio. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to him.
We'll do that. That's the way to go about it. We'll get it handled. We don't need to yell and scream. All right, here's one I just saw on Channel 11. It's got a bunch of layers to it. So here's the headline. Mayor of Perryopolis charged with DUI after hit-and-run crash on election night. So you're thinking, wow, this guy must have celebrated victory, whatever. Mayor of Perryopolis. So here we are. There's another layer to this one, though. The mayor of Perryopolis is facing criminal charges after a crash that happened on election night. Charles Petrosky, that's his name. Mayor of Perryopolis charged with DUI, accidents involving damage to attend to vehicle or property, and several other charges. According to court documents, a person reported a crash intersection of Barney's Road and 51. No idea where that is. Probably by Perryopolis, actually. The person reported being hit from behind by a vehicle that left the scene. They provided the police with photos of the vehicle and showed the license plate. Police used the license plate number to identify Petrosky, the acting mayor of Perryopolis, as a suspect. State troopers spoke to him at his house. They said he smelled like alcohol and didn't remember being in a crash. His blood alcohol is 0.139. Here's the other layer. Petrosky's 83. Not only is your guy out there driving around hopped up on election night, and he's the mayor of Perryopolis, Perryopolis sees fit to have an 83-year-old guy leading that fine municipality. There we are. Petrosky. Sheesh. Anyway, 866-391-1020 is the number. By the way, about that last call, and I got my man's number. I'm going to pass it along to everybody that matters that can get back to him, especially Chris DeLuzio. I had no idea walking in the door today that we'd have such a standoffish show. I thought the one thing that could happen was we all could get behind Veterans Day, 11-11. And we could smile. We could understand. We could, some people could shed a tear. We could celebrate in our own way, but unite as Americans. It's been divisive. Maybe that's because of the state of politics in our country right now. We'll get into a bunch of other things. We'll hear from President Reagan before the hour's out, from 1985. We're going to hear twice from President Reagan today, the first of which from 1985. Right now, a man who is, he is in stature approaching President Reagan, Brody in Swissville. Hi, Brody.
I'll tell you what, President Reagan, how you doing, Colin? What's going on? You're like my favorite radio friend. You were such a cool dude.
Well, thank you. How are you, Brody?
I'm doing a lot better. My eye problems are clearing up. I talked to Margo very briefly about, I have to listen to the audio. So yeah, I want Paul McCartney tickets. I'm not going to be able to go tonight, but I want to talk about the veterans. I support the veterans. You know, I have a contract for the Air Force. Please don't thank me for my service, because all I do is pick up recruits downtown, and we need the government to go back on again, because these fine young men and women, it's going on. And I got paid for October, but you know, my boss, I talked to him the other day, supposedly there's going to be a big vote tomorrow for shutting the government on again. They're going to force it through.
Turn it back
on,
right?
See what happens. Yes, let's turn it back on and everything. And I know that you really speak highly of our men of law enforcement and our troops in normalcy. Could you imagine if the U.S. Air Force would be like spoiled children protesting and sitting in their parents' basement and saying, oh, I'm not getting paid. I'm just going to sit there and play video games. That's not happening. We still have, it's going on, and the air traffic controllers and everything. So what do you think? Do you think we're going to be able to, and obviously everybody listening to my voice, thank you for your service. Do you think everything's going to be back to normal this week? I mean, you can't look in a crystal ball.
First of next week would be my thought. Yeah, I think it'll switch back on, though. But I think here's going to be the rub, Brody, is that there's going to be a lag in these people getting paid. It may take a month or so to get their back pay.
That's okay. It's okay. I'm annoying my boss. I'm like, come on. And, I'm willing to drive to, Penn State and Lavelle, Maryland. And, I mean, they come. You realize my job is, I have two jobs. You know that. I deliver medicine for senior care. And I want to go downtown and drive them. Sometimes I drive them out to, Dubois, PA.
Yeah, either
and
one.
Out to Penn State. And, if I have some trips under my belt, I'll have to wait for the money. I need to pay my bills, too.
I gotcha. Yeah, I bet there's a lag time of about a month. Last time it was a couple months, full back pay. But hopefully it'll be expedited. Brody talked about having his, and he's texted me about, or sent me messages about this, about his eye being messed up. How about in the cartoons? Remember they used to put a stake on your eye? I wonder if that works, if you put a stake on your eye, if there's something wrong with it. Just thinking out loud here. We'll hear from President Reagan, 1985, Arlington National Cemetery, in just a little bit. This has been the weirdest show I've ever done. I mean that. The weirdest show I've ever done. Here's why. I thought everybody would be on the same page. I thought it'd be a simple, easy, nice show where we could talk about Veterans Day. We could talk about how we remember those who aren't here anymore, how we tip our cap to those who are, and how we're all in agreement. There's been dissension in the ranks. There have been people who are not all on the same page. I can't believe that we can't get on the same page for something like honoring our past and present veterans. That's just strange to me. It just is. When I nestled into this chair today, I had much more apprehension about if Margo would be here, making her way back from Florida, the flight stuff, TSA, and air traffic control, and 6% cuts at this point, and all that. I thought that would be much more in the balance than the show being one where people would disagree. So far, it's been like some people are mad. Some people want to yell at their congressman. Some other people are mad that I played President Bush because, well, that just means President Trump can't give a good speech. And man, if there ever was a day to unite, one would think it's 11-11. But oh well, it's just maybe it speaks to the state of our country. It just does. Oh, update from a story from yesterday. So Major League Baseball said yesterday, after I was off the air, authorized sports books are now going to limit the amount of money that can be wagered on some of these prop bets, like pitches. A day after those charges were announced against those two knuckleheads, the charges cap wagers on pitch-level markets at $200 and exclude those bets from parlays. And it will affect 98% of the U.S. betting markets, the league said. So there's that. So essentially, if you have inside information that the guy's going to throw a ball and you've got to him and say, you're going to throw a ball and we're going to entice you to do that by giving you a lot of money, you can't bet $100,000 on it anymore or whatever the cap was before, if there ever was one. You can only bet $200 on that. So that's that. And hopefully that'll have the impact that they're looking for. Jack's in Mount Lebanon. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Great, Colin. How's your family?
Wonderful. Great. Good stuff. Cold day today. First super cold one of the season, Jack.
I know, and it comes too quick, doesn't it?
Seems like it. Absolutely. What about Veterans Day?
It's, you know, another day to me.
No, it's not. It's not another day to you. See, you're being too modest all the time. It can't be another day to you, Jack.
It is. Honest, it is. I do the same thing is what I mean. I don't change or do anything different.
Okay, let me ask you this. And I know we joke around a lot, but I want to be serious.
Okay.
So if somebody, say some young buck comes up to you and says, oh, you served. Thank you for your service, Jack. How does that make you feel and what's the proper response?
I say, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you think about things at all?
Not really.
No?
No. It's been 50-some years now, okay?
No, I got it.
And, you know, that's probably why.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Why are we so divided as a country, even on a day like this? That's crazy to me.
That's you know, I don't understand that either. Well, I'm a conservative, okay?
Gotcha.
When that that little kid wasn't, you know, the little kid that had brain surgery in that one speech.
Sure.
And them Democrats put their little signs up and wouldn't stand up.
Yeah, that was tough.
And, you know, that makes you... Is it worth it? It is worth it, but it makes you think, are these people worth it?
You know what? I'm going to get into that at 5 o'clock. And it is from something else, something that somebody put out on social media today. But it's those same exact sort of thoughts in that we divide ourselves, and maybe it's to the big detriment of the whole citizenry, Jack. And it just... It becomes a no-win situation where we have to be divisive and we have to pick one side or the other, and it does us no good in the long run.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. I'm just saying I agree. It's messed up.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of places, restaurants that give discounts, convenience stores, gas stations, either a deep discount or even free stuff today. And that's a way of thanking people. Did you go catch anything today and use your veteran card or whatever?
I went to Panera's, got some water and a bagel. And, you know, and I showed them my ID. And the bagel was free.
Oh, well, there you go. There you are. So thank you for your service. Last thing before I let you go, Jack. So,
yes, sir.
Did you happen to watch that football game last night? I did not. I don't stay up that late, but I heard it was not real fun to watch.
I watched it, I think.
Oh, okay. Not sure.
Well, I know I watched it because I wrote down the final score before I went to bed, but I don't remember too much.
Good stuff. Makes for a good night. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Coming up next, we'll hear from President Reagan. 1985. He gave stirring speeches. President Reagan is one of the all-time best orators in history. He just is. There's no two ways about that. And not just the way he gave speeches, the way they were prepared, the way he didn't waste words, but then, of course, the way they were delivered as well. We'll hear from him coming up in just a little bit. By the way, as always, you can listen to us 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDK or on that Audacy app. That's AUDACY. You can also watch us online, KDK's video stream. It's presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to KDKRadio.com, click on that Watch KDK Radio live stream. Now you can go to our YouTube page. Be sure to check that out and also subscribe. Margo back, have her back in one piece and with a bunch of peace in that there wasn't a dust up at the airport. I'm happy to report because we have not had firsthand accounts. Like, she's the only person from our office that traveled and can report firsthand. She flew to Tampa on Friday. She flew home from Tampa this morning and she said nothing. It was just a-okay, smooth as can be. So, take that as our firsthand account from Margo. All right, so Veterans Day today. Playing a bunch of different audio and a bunch of different things from people throughout history. Different speeches, a bunch of different sounds, and, you know, from different times. Well, 1985, Arlington National Cemetery. One of the great orators, one of the great people who gave speeches was President Ronald Reagan. On Veterans Day, 11/11/1985, there were many assembled at Arlington National Cemetery, and President Reagan said this.
A few moments ago, I placed a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier, and as I stepped back and stood during the moment of silence that followed, I said a small prayer. And it occurred to me that each of my predecessors has had a similar moment, and I wondered if our prayers weren't very much the same, if not identical. We celebrate Veterans Day on the anniversary of the armistice that ended World War I, the armistice that began on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And I wonder, in fact, if all Americans' prayers aren't the same as those I mentioned a moment ago. For all we can ever do for our heroes is remember them and remember what they did, and memories are transmitted through words. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives. The one they were living, and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. And all we can do is remember. There's always someone who is remembering for us. No matter what time of year it is or what time of day, there are always people who come to this cemetery, leave a flag or a flower or a little rock on a headstone. and they stop and bow their heads and communicate what they wished to communicate. I think sometimes of General Matthew Ridgway, who, the night before D-Day, tossed sleepless on his cot and talked to the Lord and listened for the promise that God made to Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. We are surrounded today by the dead of our wars. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us. All we can do is try to see that other young men never have to join them. Today, as never before, we must pledge to remember the things that will continue the peace. Today, as never before, we must pray for God's help in broadening and deepening the peace we enjoy. Let us pray for freedom and justice and a more stable world. And let us make a compact today with the dead. A promise in the words for which General Ridgway listened, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Incredible stuff from Ronald Reagan, November 11th, 1985. We'll hear from President Reagan again in a different speech before we're out of here today. A couple things from that speech, just stirring. He never wastes a word, as I said before. He's an incredible orator, incredible speech maker, giver. They're succinct. They're not flowery in words. They're straight ahead, straightforward, and I think they're some of the greatest ever in terms of that. So there's that. Matthew Ridgway, who he cites there, actually retired to Fox Chapel and passed away. I think he was almost 100, if I'm not mistaken. He was somewhere between like 95 and 100 when he died, but he retired to Pittsburgh, to Fox Chapel in particular, and lived there toward the end of his life. But that speech really resonates, I think, with a lot of people in terms of that soldiers who die on the battlefield, many of them, you never get to have the memories of them growing old. They're forever a snapshot at 22 or 25 or 28 years old. And that's one of the big reminders of how sad it is. You never have their memories at 55 or 60 or as they grow gray. And President Reagan delivered that very aptly, very wonderfully. 866-391-1020. We'll get into a bunch of other things. We'll hear from Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North in the next hour, and then President Reagan again toward the end of the show. News top of the hour, KDK.